John chapter 11. John chapter 11, we'll be breaking in about the 32nd verse this morning with the help of the Lord. If you'll pray, I'll preach real fast. If you don't, I'm going to preach real long. And your tacos are going to get cold. I know we don't want to miss our tacos. I love the Lord today, and I got to thinking about His love this week. We've traveled many miles, and God has helped us as we've traveled. We've been across, almost feel like the nation this week, about 1,400 miles we've traveled, and got to meet people that we've never met before, and got to minister in ways that I haven't got to minister to in a long time. And it's amazing, if we'll be willing and be a willing vessel, how God will use us no matter where we're sent. And I'm made to believe that every day is a special day. It's a special opportunity for us to be a witness to our co-workers, to our families, to those that we come in contact with. But you know, the world is looking for something. Our world is hurting. Our world is in trouble, and our nation's in trouble. And they need something. And they're looking for something. A lot of folks that are hurting today are not here in this church. A lot of folks that are in need are not in these pews this morning. They're at their homes, they're hurting, and they're in need. And they don't know the answer, and they don't know the way. But I'm glad that God has put something within us to help show the way. You know, Brother Greg, if I had the cure for cancer, I'd want to go and tell people what the cure for cancer is. If I knew how to get over a cold faster and I had the remedy for it, I'd want to go and tell people how to get over it quicker. Amen? But I come to tell you this morning, I know how to get you over the problems that you're in. I have found the answer to your problems. I have found the answer to life's problems, and it's in the Word of God. And I love it this morning. I'm glad that the Lord loves us unconditionally. Over here in John chapter 11, verse 32, let's stand for the reading of God's Word and just reverence Him this morning. How precious it is to have the Word of God. Do you know that you're holding the living Word of God right in your hands this morning? This is the spoke Word to you and I today. How precious it is to have. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and all the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in His spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid Him? And they said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, this is where I've taken my message from today, behold how He loved Him. Let us pray. Father, I ask You right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, would You open the hearts of You people? Lord, make it tender this morning to receive Your Word. I can't preach, but God, You can do the preaching through us today. I pray, Lord, that You open our ears of understanding, Lord, that we can perceive Your Word into our life, God. We thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us in giving Your Son and making a way where there was no way. God, we praise You for that today. And should there be one lost here without You, maybe before this service is over, Lord, they'll come and give their life before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we love You and we'll praise You. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Here we see in this chapter Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, His friend. He's just died and He's touched by the grief and the sorrow of the people. And so much that He cries Himself. because of the love that He has for them all. Many theologians have argued back and forth about the similitude and the grief-strickenness of this moment. Was the Lord really crying and weeping over Lazarus dying? Because He is the resurrection. He's the one that has the power to raise the dead. Is He really weeping over His friend Lazarus that has died? I believe that Jesus was touched by the grief of the people. And so much that when I cry, it breaks the heart of God. When I'm sad, it makes Him sad. When I cry, I believe it breaks His heart. Why? Because I'm His child. And He could see the grief of the people and it broke His heart. And Lazarus was His friend. And here we see Jesus in the form of a man. He's as much man as He is God. And He's showing out through His emotion as He's reached the tomb where His friend is laying. If you recall back early in the story, His disciples, when they sent word to Him that Lazarus was sick and dying, He hesitated before He went. And He told His disciples, He said, "He's sleeping." And, you know, they thought through the natural mind, well, He's just sleeping, He'll be all right. And Jesus saw their heart that they didn't understand what He had to say. He looked right at them and said, "Lazarus is dead." No doubt they were dumbfounded by that. Why are we hesitating? I'm glad that God has a purpose for all things. He has a purpose for His will in your life and a purpose for the will in my life. And I want to preach on a subject this morning entitled, "Jesus Loves Me." Jesus loves me. You can say that as well. Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? Because the Bible has told me so, amen. I'm glad that He loves me. Unconditionally, God loves me. No matter where I've been, what I've done, He loves me. And I want to tell you this morning, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done or where you've been or where you're at right now. God loves you this morning. Somebody might have told you this week they don't love you. They may have come against you this week and done something against you. But I'm telling you, there's a Savior. There's a God on high that loves you unconditionally this morning. He loves you. And He told me to tell you, to get the point across to you this morning, that He loves you no matter where you're at. And here we see that the Lord is touched by this moment, and He's touched by the people, and He was touched this week, what you went through, the hardship that you went through. The Lord was touched by that this week. You may say, "You know what, I ain't doing everything I should. I'm not walking as close to God as I should." But I'm going to tell you what, your relationship with Him, how much He loves you, don't have nothing to do with whether you're walking close or walking away from Him. He loves you unconditionally. Now, He wants you to be close to Him. He wants you to live close and love Him unconditionally. But I'm glad He loves me when I ain't even done right. And when I fall on my face, I'm glad He loves me. Unconditionally, He loves me. Y'all getting the point this morning? You see how much the Lord loves you? Now, there are other denominations, other religions that'll tell you, and they'll hang conditions upon your walk with Christ. If you'll do this, then Christ will do that. If you'll go over here and do that, He'll love you even more. And if you'll give to this, He'll bless you with that. It's always condition, condition, condition. But I'm telling you this morning, by the authority of God's Word, it's unconditional this morning, His love. It ain't got nothing to do with how good you are. He loves you that much this morning. So number one, I want to tell you, I'm glad that Jesus shows His love for us. How does He do that? Over Romans 5 and 8, the Bible says, "But God commanded His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, Brother Rudy, when I was lost in sin, no good for nothing, He loved me and died for me when I was in that shape. Can you think about it? If that don't do something for you this morning, you might want to make a trip to the altar. If you're so dry this morning that even thinking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords dying for your sin doesn't do something for you, you may need a trip back to the altar to get renewed in your spirit. I've been so dry in the desert sometimes, I'd wonder where God was even at. I'd say, Lord, where are you at in all this? I've been so hurt. I've been so put down. I feel out, Lord. Where are you at? I need your presence. I'm going to tell you, I was in a place this week I didn't want to be, but God sent me there, and I had the opportunity to pray before a bunch of men that didn't love God. And I saw them, and I was sitting there praying for them, and they were talking filth, and they wasn't talking nothing spiritual. And I thought, Lord, why am I here? And about that time, the Lord said, when the food shows up, pray. I thought, okay. These men don't know me. I don't know them, but I know him. The food hit the table. As soon as it hit the table, they went to go in on that food. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I looked to my right. I said, wait a minute. And they all stopped and looked at me. I said, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to pray and bless this food. I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'll bless everybody we eat. Amen. I went to eating. They just looking. They slowly started eating. But you know, I tried to show the love of God, and I didn't try to make myself any different than they was. And I was kind, and I shook their hands, and I tried to talk to them, and I told them about my life and who I was and what we did here and about being a pastor and the joy we have at the church and how excited I was. And it's like, you know, when you get around people that don't go to church and they're not under the preached word of God and the experience of God and the blessings of God, they're going to sort of get like this. And they're like, what? I've never heard of nothing like that. But that didn't deter me at all. Jesus loves me. This I know. I've got to tell people so how much he loves me so they can see it in my life. Amen. I know that he died for my sin. He commanded his love toward me. That while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. So I wanted to tell them what Christ could do for them. But you always got those that are that crowd. They talk like the world. They act like the world. They drink the world's brew. They do all the sin of the world. But oh, how I love Jesus. I'll tell you one thing. Oil and water won't come from the same spout. That was weak this morning. I'm telling you what, if you got the presence of God living within you, you'll want to tell the goodness of God. You'll want to live for God. You'll want God to be glorified in your life. Why? Because you know that he loves you and you love him unconditionally this morning. And so we see here over in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said, for he hath made us to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He became our sin so we wouldn't have to pay for that sin. He took that sin up on the cross, laid his hands out, and was nailed to a cross for your sins and mine. Why did he do that? He looked way down through time, amen. And he saw every one of you all here today. And he said, I'll pay the ultimate price for them. 1 John 3:16, the Bible's here. Bible says here, hereby perceive we that the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I'll tell y'all right now, I ain't willing to die for none of you all. I'm not, but the Bible commands me to. I ought to love you, brethren, enough that I'd lay my life down for you. And I do love you. And I'll go all the way, but I don't know if I'd jump out in front of a truck for you. Y'all awful quiet this morning. I'm being truthful this morning. I love these brethren, but it's hard. This is part of the scripture. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to want to die for these brethren. But Christ is trying to show me how much love that I'm supposed to have for them. Well, what if I find out that Brother Chris was talking about me this week and doing things again? Am I still supposed to love him? I'm still supposed to love him. He claims to be a man of God, a child of God. I'm supposed to love him. But if I've got, boy, the Lord taking me this way, I'll just go this way for a minute. The Lord told me, he said, if you got an ought against you, brother, I'm to go over here and tell these guys about it. Guess what, Brother Chris done? That's so good for nothing. Guess what he done? Now I'm being like a Baptist. Let's just get on them for a minute. We'll talk and we'll give me a rock. And we're throwing rocks and we're throwing rocks and they come up and they see me throw rocks. They just start throwing rocks, you know. That's the way we do. But the Bible says we got an ought against our brother. What? We go to him. We go to him and we say, brother, I got a problem. I'm going to him and him alone. And then if he won't listen to me, I'm going to get another brother. I said, come on. We got to go talk to Brother Chris. I got to get on a level here with Brother. I love Brother Chris, but got a problem. We got to get together on. And then he won't hear me. And he won't hear us. Guess what happens next? Then we take them on. We come to the church. Church, guess what? We've got an ought. We need to get this fixed. And we try to get it fixed up. And then if it can't get fixed up then before the church, then guess what I do? I stomp the dust from my feet and I'm done with it. I turn him over to God. I say, there he is, Lord. I've done all I can do. That's free of charge straight from heaven this morning. That wasn't even part of the message, but the Lord said, say it. So there it is. But we got to love the brethren. And the scripture says it so much that we would lay down our life for the brethren. Number two, I'm so glad that Jesus shows his love to us. Amen. He shows it to us in Jeremiah 31, 3. The Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something this morning. The Lord can draw you this morning. I wonder how long it's been since you felt drawn of the Lord. Every one of you that's been born again are being drawn every day of God to do his will. I really don't feel led. You ain't paying attention. The Lord's wanting to draw you and use you. You may say, I'm old in body and I just ain't able much to do anything. The Lord's still drawing you. He still can use you. I don't care how old you get. Well, I'm awful young. I'm not there yet. I need to sow my wild oats. I'm young and I need to live life. You need to be drawn to the Lord. You need to listen to the Lord and let him draw you in. Remember the Lord in the days of thy youth, so your life will be long on this earth, okay? We're being drawn of God every day. Why? Because he loves us. Amen. 2 Corinthians, I love this one, 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I love Jesus because it's all new now. I don't walk like I used to walk. I don't talk like I used to talk. Why? Because I love him. Why? Because he first loved me. I don't live that life anymore. I don't know about you all, but I don't live that way no more. I don't want the devil's vomit in my life. I don't want it in my home. I don't want it in my family. I want the purity of God in my life is what I want. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want to have everything he wants for my life. I want to be the example for my children. I want to be the example for my wife and for my family. I want them to see God in my life. So much that they'll say, I want to be blessed like that. I'm the most blessed man I feel like in this building today. God has been so good to me. He's blessed me beyond reason. How about you today? Has God been good to you? Have you sat down and thought about just this week all the blessings? Man, there's too many to count if you really think about it. Brother Gary, I'm just kind of in that place in my life. Nothing's really happening. Nothing's really moving. I don't really know. You know, you need to get over that and see and look what God has done, what he's doing in your life. Why? Jesus loves you. In that same chapter, verse 18, he says, and all things are of God. He said that we're reconciled to him. When I came to an old-fashioned altar, I was reconciled out of my sins. I was brought to him. And I stepped beyond the veil of the man I used to be into a new life, into a new walk. that I'd never been in before. I'd never been here before. I've been there before. I ain't never been here. And I had to learn how to walk with Him. And I had to learn how to be the witness. And I had to learn about going to church and going to Sunday school and loving people that hated me and showing them the love of Christ. I had to learn these things. So when new converts come up and they go right back to the sin that they were in, don't start throwing rocks at them. Go down there and help them and say, listen, you're not in that no more. Come out from among that. Let me help you. Let me show you the way. I had an alcoholic come and repent one time on the altar. And when we had visited him and talked with him, he's a real bad alcoholic. And he couldn't get up. He couldn't live through the day. He couldn't go to bed without the alcohol. It was consuming his life. The doctor done told him, every drink you take is killing you. It's going to kill you one day. And I said, come to church. Let's get you under the preached word of God. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. And I was so glad that one day I looked back there and the tears was rolling down. And the preacher said, why don't you come? And here he come. And I was working the altar that day and I was so privileged that I got to be the one leading to the Lord. But before he ever got here, he'd left a tear trail all the way up. And when he got down out of that altar, I'll never forget that day. The sun was shining through the window this way and he was on his knees and the sunbeams was bouncing off of the tears that were falling on the floor. I knew he'd got right with God. But then when he got up, I got him by the shoulders and I said, listen, let me tell you something. God's done a great thing for you today. You feel like he saved you? Yes. I mean, tears still flowing. I said, do you feel better? He said, I can't even explain how I feel. And I said, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. That's the way you should feel. And it's good. It's a brand new walk. Everything's new now. And you're just like a brand new baby. You're getting ready to start a new life. And I said, but let me tell you something. Devil's going to show up about 4 o'clock this evening. I said, it's going to get rough. Why don't you call me when that happens? He said, I will. He knew what I was talking about. But he walked out of the church and he's happy in the church fellowship with him. We loved on him, showed him the right hand of fellowship and sent him on his way. Sure enough, I'd get a text, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Every day, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. It took about a week. Then he called me. He's an awful mess. He said, what am I going to do? I feel like it all of hell has surrounded me. I feel like the demons are clawing at me. I feel like I am such a failure and I have failed God. Am I lost forever? And I said, listen, brother, God loves you so much that he gives the best that heaven has, that even when you make a mistake like this, we can go over to 1 John and read. He said, my little children, I write unto thee that when thou sin, have an advocate with the Father. I said, are you tired of that? He said, I didn't want to take the first drink. I knew I couldn't do it. I knew it was wrong. I shouldn't do it. He said, but you don't understand. My skin is crawling off of my body. The demons seem like just clawing at me, and I can't get rid of it, and it's right here. I said, I want to pray with you right now. Let's pray right now. I prayed with him on the phone right then. Began to talk with him. And we had some other preachers follow up with him afterwards and talk with him each day and help him each day. And eventually, he kept getting stronger and getting stronger and getting stronger. And he finally walked away from that life. As far as I know right now, he moved back to Michigan. As far as I know, he's still walking with God and not living that type of life. So when you see somebody that has problems in their life, don't throw rocks, don't judge them. Go and love them. Be willing to take the time to help and invest in their life. Why? Because you should be willing to lay your life down for that brother. I know it's tough this morning, but Jesus said he loved you. He says it in the Word. Jesus loves me, this I know. If you think about John 3:16, I quote it all the time. Why? Because if that was the only verse in the Bible, we could live right by that verse and not have to worry about anything else. For God so loved If you look at that word soul and how big that is, there's no way I could even think of a definition that would cover that word. He loved you so much that He is willing to let your son die, His son, die for your sin. Let me ask you, are you willing to give your child up for me? Would you go out here and let somebody kill your son or daughter so that I could continue in life? I'd say no this morning. I couldn't allow my daughter to die for you. I love her too much. I'd say, kill me, don't kill her. But that's the kind of love that God had for you. And He loves you this morning. I'm glad that Jesus shows His love for us and to us, but finally He shows it through us. Is He showing it through you today? I wondered that this morning. How's God's love being shown through you? In Matthew 5:14, He said, ye, talking about you, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. When I was sitting amongst them men this week, I was like a city set on a hill. I didn't have to say nothing. I didn't have to do nothing. I might as well have been wearing a pink suit because that's how bad I stuck out. And I was so glad that the Holy Spirit had told on me. I was so glad that it was just coming off of my life, that they realized there's something different about that man right there. He don't talk like the rest of us. He don't act like the rest of us. There's something about him I want to find out. And I'm glad that that night after I prayed over the food and they shook my hand and I went on my way, I said, I got to go back to my motel. I got calls to make. I got counseling. I got to go. And the next morning, I slept like a baby that night. Next morning, I got up and went down. You know, they got those continental breakfasts, you know. I don't know what's continental about that, but that ain't much of a breakfast, I'll tell you. But anyhow, I went down there to get my breakfast. I was thankful for it. As soon as I went over and got my poached eggs and that artificial bacon, whatever it was, and I got it, put it on my plate, and that skim milk, and I thought, oh, my goodness, my wife would be so proud. I'm not eating all this sugar, you know. So I got that, and I took my little plate, and I sat down over there, and I said, about the time I sit down, this guy's standing in front of me. I asked you a question. I said, yeah. I heard you pray in Jesus' name last night. The door went, boom. The Lord just slung the door open. I said, I sure did. He said, are you a follower of Jesus? I said, I'm so glad you asked. Sit down, let's talk. And for 20 minutes, I preached as hard as I could go. You know, and come to find out he was a believer. And he'd been born again, got 7 children. And they were out of church, and he said, I feel like I'm in a desert. I don't know what God's going to do in my life. I feel so cold. I'm away from God. I just don't have any joy in my life. And I said, you ever been on a mountain? I said, oh, yeah, by the way, where do you live? He said, Kansas. I said, okay. Let me explain to you about being in a valley. I said, you get on a mountaintop. I said, and you go down the mountain into a valley. I said, down in the valley, if you'll take a shovel and turn the dirt over, I said, it's usually black. I said, because that's the richest soil down in that valley. And I began to explain to him how some of the prettiest flowers, the prettiest grass, the prettiest trees grow right down in the valley. And I said, and it's in that valley where God is. I said, you get down there and God can show you some of the best things for your life. And brother, you do a lot of valley walking and a lot of mountain climbing. I know, I've seen it. He does all that. And he climb all them mountains and them ropes and do all these work. I wished I could do that. I can't do that. If I ran from here to them doors, I'd probably have a heart attack. It ain't that I don't want to. I mean, I love to run. But anyhow, you know, I told him, I said, get down there. And I said, and when you get down there, if you'll listen for God, He'll speak to your life. Even though you feel like God's nowhere, I said, God is probably closer to you right now than He's ever been. If you'll listen and look at all the beauty that God has in a valley. They sometimes when I'm down in a valley, I'll sit down in the grass and watch it blow. The wind will be blowing. He'll just be doing this. I'll say, God, how good you are. All of a sudden, here come a message. He'll start talking me about a message for you guys. And I'll start noticing other things. And it's just the smell, and it's just wonderful. But all valleys are not that way. Some valleys are tough. And he was truly sharing his heart with me. He said, I'm in a tough place, and I need some help. He said, what can I do? And I began to explain to him about a daily devotion and reading God's Word and seeking God and praying and things of that nature. And then I said, by the way, we have a podcast at the church. I said, download podcast and you can get our sermons every week. And he said, you're kidding. I said, no. He said, I'll do that. He said, I need something in my life. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible has told me so. And he just lit up. I mean, the biggest smile. And you think, I tell you guys that, and y'all look at me like. But he couldn't get enough. I mean, he was like, tell me more. I got to know more. And he was excited, and it was refreshing to see somebody that didn't seem like they'd ever heard it before. And I couldn't tell him enough. And all of a sudden, he's like, boys, I got to go. We got to go to class. I'm like, forget class. I'm having class right here, you know. But we had to go, and I didn't get to spend all the time with him I wanted to. But God will put you in places to use you in a mighty way. If you think back this week on places you've been, God has used you in that place. Now you may say, I've not seen it, I've not heard it, nobody said nothing. But God has used you. Your light is a city set on a hill. It's before the world. They look at you. Somebody is watching every one of your all's lives. I promise you that. You may not think they are, but somebody is watching your life. Because the time you take a dip and a fall, there'll be somebody there say, yep, I knew it. I knowed he's going to fall. I've been watching you. I knowed you's going to fall. But do something good, there's nobody ever says a word. But God knows. Amen? God knows this morning. Let me give you a few more scriptures. We'll be done. John 12:32, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw unto all men to me. Luke 14:23. You know, I circled this, highlighted it in my Bible, Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full, may be filled, maybe be overrunning. You're the one that's going to have to do it. If we're going to see this church full, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to go after them. You teachers, you're starting a brand new year. I know you're under government law and all these restrictions and all these things. You still be a witness. You ain't got to preach to the children. You ain't got to have open Bible study. I'm praying that God put the Bible back in the schoolhouse. Amen? We can be a witness there. We can be a witness on the job, wherever we're at. Many of you all still work. Many of you are still dealing with people every day. You ought to take the opportunity and be the witness that you need to be. How can I do that? A lot of times you don't have to say nothing. If you'll start your day off with prayer and reading God's Word and talking with Him and walking with Him, it'll shine on you like the sun. Somebody will see something in your life and say, you know what? There's something different about that man. There's something different about that woman. They don't tell the dirty jokes. They don't laugh at the dirty jokes. They don't go on with the filthiness. There's something different about that person. I'm going to find out what it is. First thing they're going to do is walk up to you and say, do you go to church? And it's just like, whoop, the Lord flung the door open for you. And you can say, oh, yeah, I go to church. Where do you go to church? Then you can invite them to church. You don't have to say nothing else. Then get them down here. We'll preach to them. We'll tell them what the Word of God has to say for their life. And hopefully the Holy Spirit of God will prick their heart and they'll run to an old-fashioned altar and get saved before it's ever lasted too late. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, the Eisen family has begged me to pray for them, and I'm praying for them. And many of you all, I have stood in places with you and prayed with you while your family members have died and while you're hurting. This family is hurting today. And it hurt me when they came to me and told me that mommy, about their profession and what she had left behind, didn't leave a good profession of faith. I'm going to tell you something today. If you want me to preach your family's funeral, if you want me to preach your funeral, you need to live right with God. so that I don't have to get up and tell your family I'm sorry. I don't know. They never left a testimony. I know that Jesus loved them. I know He gave His life for them. He did all He could for them. But don't expect the preacher to preach you into heaven, because I won't do it. Have you ever noticed when you go to a funeral, everybody's saved? Have you ever noticed everybody's ready to go? Oh, they went to church. Oh, they was a good person. Oh, they give to the church. Oh, it was wonderful. But to really find out they live like a hellion their whole life, that's awful. When the way is made so straight and so easy, all we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. He said, thou shalt be saved. It's that easy. Don't wait for the preacher to say a good word over you. Say something now, because He loves you. He wants you to be ready. He wants you to be saved. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. He wants you to know this morning that He loves you. That lie that you told this week, He still loves you. That curse word you said this week, He still loves you. That thing you took that you wasn't supposed to take, He still loves you. You mean I can live any old way and be saved forever? If you're truly born again, you won't live that way. I've had people say, well, I believe I'll get saved. I'll do anything I want to do, bless God. I can do it. I don't have to. I'll be this, I'll be that. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're truly born again, you'll truly live for God. You won't do those things. You won't be of the world. You'll come out from among the world. You'll walk right and talk right and live for God. Yes, you've got to learn. Yes, you've got to overcome these things. Yes, you've got to see how this whole thing works, and it's a growing process. I'm still growing. 37 years down the way, I'm still growing. I'm still seeking the will of God. I still want God to move in my life. But I'll tell you what, it takes a devotion to God to grow in Him. Amen? It didn't happen just because one day I woke up and said, well, I'm fully grown in God. I can do all these things. It took praying and seeking God's will in our life for God to move in our life. So I ask you today, do you love Him? Do you love Him today? He loves you. I've told you and showed you now. He loves you unconditionally. Do you love Him today? As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.